In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Let us sing the praises of famous men. Oswald of Northumbria was forced to flee from Northumbria to Scotland when his father, Ethelfrith, was defeated and killed by Raedwald in 617. Oswald was converted to Christianity at Iona while he was in Scotland. When his uncle, King St. Edwin of Northumbria, was killed in battle against pagan King Penda of Mercia and Welsh King Cadwallon in 633, Oswald assembled an army and in 634 defeated a superior force under Cadwallon, who was killed in a battle near Hexham, and Oswald became King of Northumbria. He attributed his victory to a vision he had of St. Columba, promising him victory, and to a huge cross he had erected the night before the battle. He brought St. Aidan to his kingdom to preach Christianity, gave him the island of Lindisfarne for his see, and acted as his interpreter. He built churches and monasteries, brought in monks from Scotland to bring his people back to Christianity, and was known for his personal piety and charity. He married Cineburga, daughter of Cynegillus, the first Christian king of Wessex, and died a few years later on August 5th, while fighting against the superior forces of Penda at Maserfield. He was only 37 at his death. Lawrence, one of the seven deacons of Rome, he was born, according to tradition, at Useca, Spain, and suffered martyrdom in Rome during Emperor Valerian's persecution of Christians. According to several early Christian writers, among them St. Ambrose and Prudentius, he was a deacon of Pope Sixtus II, and was overwhelmed with grief when Sixtus was condemned to death in 258. Overjoyed when Sixtus predicted he would follow him in 3 days, he sold many of the church's possessions and donated money to the poor. When the prefect of Rome heard of his action, he had Lawrence brought before him and demanded all the church's treasures for the emperor. Lawrence said he would need 3 days to collect them, and then presented the blind, the crippled, the poor, the orphans, and other unfortunates to the prefect and told him that they were the church's treasures. Furious, the prefect prepared a red-hot griddle and bound Lawrence to it. Lawrence bore the agony with unbelievable equanimity, and in the midst of his torment instructed the executioner to turn him over, as he was broiled enough on the one side. According to Prudentius, his death and example led to the conversion of Rome and signaled the end of paganism in the city. There is no doubt that his death inspired a great devotion in Rome, which quickly spread throughout the entire church. Finally, Maximilian Kolbe was born at Zduńska Wola near Lodz, Poland, on January 7th, and baptized Raymond. He joined the conventual Franciscans, taking the name Maximilian. He pronounced his temporary vows in 1911, and in 1917 founded the Militia of Mary Immaculate in Rome to advance devotion to Mary. He was ordained in Rome in 1918, returned to Poland, and founded Militia of the Immaculate Mary, a monthly bulletin. In 1927, he founded Niepokalanau, probably got that wrong, Cities of the Immaculate Conception, about 25 miles from Warsaw, to house some 800 religious and established similar foundations in Japan and India. He became superior of the Polish Niepokalanau in 1936, and in 1941 was arrested by the Gestapo when the Germans invaded Poland and imprisoned in the notorious prison camp in Auschwitz in Poland. He took the place of a married man with a family who was one of 10 men arbitrarily selected by the commandant to be executed in retaliation for a prisoner who had escaped. Father Kolbe was killed on August 14th by an injection of carbolic acid and was beatified by Pope Paul VI in 1971. How can we possibly compare to these giants, these titans of the Christian faith, these men and numerous women as well, whom the church has recognized and bestowed the title of saint upon? They lived lives of extraordinary devotion in incredibly unique situations, situations that we are highly unlikely to find ourselves in. I look out and I don't see any potential royalty. And despite what some alarmists may say, I don't envision the kind of persecution faced in the early church coming here to Mansfield, Texas. Then again, I wonder if many of these saints would have ever imagined themselves worthy of so great an honor, regardless of the situation. But see, there are also many stories in this book of more ordinary folks. So one more. Blessed Sebastian Aparicio. Born of poor parents at Gdynia, Spanish Galicia, he worked as a servant and as a farmhand in his youth and then went to Mexico. He settled at Puebla de Los Angeles, established a freight and postal service, and became wealthy. He lived austerely, was known for his generous charities to the poor, and in 1552 he retired to an estate near Mexico City. He married twice after he was 60, but both wives died. He survived a serious illness when 70, gave his wealth to the poor Clares, became a Franciscan tertiary, and then joined the Franciscans in Mexico City. He was sent to Tecali and then Puebla, where he spent the last quarter century of his life. He died at Tecali and was beatified in 1787. That sounds a little more reasonable, doesn't it? So the takeaway here is not the uniqueness of the circumstances that led to these recognized saints, but how they responded to those circumstances. See, we all have our station in life. That which God has called each of us to, and for each of us, the imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which these saints strove for, will look very different. The differences of the living out of the Christian faith between a 15-year-old high school student and a 35-year-old father of five, or a 60-year-old physician who never married and never had children, it's going to be night and day. And as we read in Ecclesiasticus, there will be godly men and women who will not be remembered by history, but nonetheless, their righteous deeds will not be forgotten. It is our job to understand our station in life and discern what holiness of life will look like for us. Thankfully, we've got what is essentially a checklist of the attributes of the blessed. In the Beatitudes, we are given the outline of how we are to approach that station in life. Again, practically speaking, it will look different, but the underlying attitude will be the same. Meekness, mercy, peace, justice, these will be among our primary concerns. Whether that means raising a family to know the peace of Christ by sharing the gospel with your children, or governing an entire nation to work towards a more peaceful world, the principles are the same. And so finally, once you have discerned what blessedness looks like for you, according to your station in life, there is choice. And this choice is what has set the saints apart throughout history. The choice to live a life that glorifies God. Above all, that is our purpose and our goal. The worship and glorification of God is the business of eternity. So we might as well get as much practice in as we can. Here and now. Think of it this way. You've got a great job, and one day your boss comes to you and says, "Hey, we're relocating you to one of our foreign offices in 6 months." So, loving your job and always up for an adventure, you accept the transfer and stay with your company. So, what do you do over the next 6 months? You are moving to a place you have never been before, that you've only really seen on a map. They speak a different language, have strange customs, and this will be your home for the foreseeable future. I know if it were me, I'd want to learn the language, practice the customs, and get to know as much as possible about the place before moving. So when you arrive there, it won't be entirely unfamiliar. Obviously, there will be some adjustments, but at least you did everything you could to make that transition as painless and natural as possible. We are only on this earth for a short time, infinitely short compared to eternity. But we should take this short time and do everything we can to ensure that when we do join the great multitude standing before the throne of God, we will be as ready as we can to take our place among the saints, both great